Hi, I'm Indiana. I'm an addict. It's actually quite nerve-wracking when you sit here and look at everyone's faces, but I didn't plan what I was going to say because I thought if I did, it would probably end up being really bad. So just going to see how this goes. But I've been in NA now for about 8 months, and it's completely changed my life. So ever since I can remember, I've had a difficult family, and I just felt different from everyone, which I think tends to be a common theme here. And I never had a good relationship with my dad. He was never there. And my dad is an addict. My mum is an addict. My sister is also an addict. A lot of my aunts and uncles are addicts. You know, addiction and mental health problems run in my family. So I felt until maybe about a year ago that I was very fortunate because I wasn't an addict and everyone else was. But I lived in London, and my mum's best friends were part of the music business, so she was involved in that. And then her best friend and her best friend's husband died, both of heroin overdoses. So we then moved to the countryside. So I didn't belong there either, because I was this city girl and everyone else had known each other forever and lived in the country, and everyone said that my voice was weird. And for about a year, no one in my class at school really spoke to me, and no one wanted to be my friend, which didn't really help. And I think when I was about 9, I went on my first diet, and food kind of was my first addiction that I kind of went into. And then when I was about 10, this guy who was obsessed with my mum murdered this family and buried them in our garden. So, yeah, I know. And then he went on the run with lots of people who'd helped him out, and my mum ended up being the key witness. So we had kind of police everywhere and panic buttons in our house, and we had to move house, and it was really bad. And the police basically said to us, yeah, if the guy gets off, you're going to have to go into the witness protection program. Fortunately, he didn't, and he's in prison for the rest of his life. But we still had phone calls, like, threatening me and my sister and my mum. And I remember on my 13th birthday, us getting a phone call that went along the lines of, we know where you live, we know where your children go to school, and we're going to come and kill you all. It didn't really help that I have always been a really anxious person. I can remember being like 4 years old and lying awake at night because there were bars on my bedroom window, and I would think, well, it's good that there are bars because if someone tries to break in, they can't get in my bedroom. But if there's a fire, I'm going to be trapped in and I'm going to burn alive. If the sky was red at night, I used to be convinced that meant the end of the world. So I'd have to stay up all night to make sure that the world didn't end. And then my food situation got worse when I was about 13. It started to get better when I turned 14 and I found drugs, alcohol and boys. Basically because I didn't feel the need to kind of starve myself or do any of that stuff anymore, because for so long I told myself I was never going to drink, I was never going to smoke, and I was never going to take drugs. That obviously didn't work out, otherwise I wouldn't be here. And that kind of, the first time I ever got drunk, I drank till I vomited, and that kind of didn't change. And the first time I took drugs was with my sister. But yeah, that kind of was the theme, and it kind of went through my whole school and university. getting really drunk, taking lots of drugs, blacking out, waking up in some random place, having no idea what I'd done or who. And then just thinking, well, I'm going to do that again tonight. And it got to the point where I ended up just in my house with my flatmate, smoking weed, taking lots of opiates and sleeping pills, and not really leaving my house because my drug dealer would come to my door unless I had to. And I had a string of really bad relationships. Like, I had emotionally abusive relationships and things like that just didn't really help. So it was about, 8 months ago, I decided that I was going to give up drugs that night, and I did all of my drugs. And then the next day, I woke up and I went back to my house. My housemate wasn't there. I knew she had drugs. I went and took the drugs and then sat in my room and just cried and was like, I can't do this anymore. This is shit. I feel shit. I felt awful, basically. And I wasn't eating. Basically, I was just taking drugs and not eating. And that was really my life, and trying to find a guy who was going to love me forever and make me feel better. Because that was my solution. So I came into NA because my sister had been in recovery for a while. I'd been through her going to rehab and then her coming out and not really doing this. But she introduced me to NA, and I've kind of stuck at it, which has caused quite a lot of friction between me and her, as, you know, she's convinced herself that she's not an addict, but it's not really my place anymore. But coming into recovery is definitely the best thing I've ever done. I feel now like I have my biological family and then I have my NA family. And if I have a real big problem or I feel like I want to talk about my emotions, I call anyone from NA that I'm close with, because I know that they will be there for me and they know that I'm going to be there for them. And even if I come into a room and I don't really know anyone, I know that it's a place that I'm safe, and it gives me the strength to know that I don't have to be that person that I thought I was going to be for the rest of my life. I can be who I was meant to be, not what my addict was turning me into. And there are some times when I can convince myself that I'm not an addict, and, you know, that maybe having a little bit of drugs or whatever would be an okay idea. And then I have days like today where I sat on the tube and I realised I didn't have any juice left in my vape, and I suddenly went into, well, I don't have any more with me, but maybe I have time to go to this shop that's like 20 minutes away from the meeting and then make it time back in time to do the chair. Or maybe I could leave halfway through and go. And then I was like, Jesus Christ, this is just nicotine, and this is where my head is going. It's ridiculous. So it makes me realise, no, I am an addict, and that I have to be so careful around anything that can change the way that I feel, because it will just turn, it will make me crazy. Like, even the tiniest thing, I can walk down the tube station and see a guy that I think is attractive and I'm already married to him in my head. And then anything that will make me not feel the way that I feel, I will latch onto. And that's because I'm scared of feeling how I feel, because a lot of the time I feel less than everyone. I'm not thin enough, I'm not attractive enough, I'm not successful enough, I'm not anything enough for anyone. But at the end of the day, I know that no one else gives a shit. It's just my head. My head will continually tell me that I'm not good enough, that nothing I do is good enough because I expect perfection, and that's totally impossible. What they say is, what, progress, not perfection. And I have to remind myself that every day, because I have to call my sponsor and be like, I'm not thin enough. And she's like, but thin enough compared to what? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And she's like, your addict won't be happy until you're so thin that you disappear. And I was just like, oh yeah, that's probably true. You know, no drug is ever enough. Your addict wants you to take as many drugs until you can't take any drugs anymore because you're dead. Or all these things that my brain just goes to the extreme. And I found that, you know, I come to 6 or 7 meetings a week. I have a sponsor. I do step work. I'm currently on step 4, which is not fun. I mean, it's necessary, but it's not fun. And I've kind of got this problem at the moment where I'll write down my resentments and I'll be like, yeah, it's fine, I'm fine. And then later on in the day, anything anyone does, I'm like, fucking hate you too. And then not only do I get a resentment against that person, but I get a resentment against myself for being resentful. So, and I spoke to my sponsor about it, and she said, so not only are you getting resentment against someone else, so that's one new resentment. You're getting 2 new resentments for every 1 resentment you get. And I'm like, well, yeah, because I should be a better person than this. I should not feel resentful towards anyone. I should be spiritual and serene. And she was just like, this again, the whole idea of being perfect is impossible. And yet, that is all I want. Mm-hmm. And I have to lower my expectations because I'm never going to get perfection. And I think if we were perfect, we wouldn't be human beings. So it is about kind of right-sizing myself and making me see that, you know, I'm not the most important thing in the world, even if... And I never realised this until I came into NA. I am obsessed with myself in a very negative way. If anyone is upset, even if I haven't done anything, I assume that I was the one who did it to you. And I am massively codependent, so I will do anything that I can to make someone feel better, which... Then when someone's sad, I'm like, well, I made them sad. What have I done? Maybe... And I will go over in my head anything that I have said when, in actual fact, it's nothing to do with me. And that is something I've learned and something that I'm really grateful for, because I don't do that nearly as much anymore. You know, the thing is, with my defects, it doesn't mean that I don't do them. It just means that I realise them and I don't have to do them every time, and I don't have to play out the same scenarios and do the same things over and over again and expect a different outcome. I'm actually doing things differently and things are getting to be different, instead of doing the same thing over and being like, well, my life's still shit, nothing's changed. Well, of course it wasn't going to change, because I was the same and I was putting myself in the same situations and doing the same things. And I have to remind myself that every day. And I was told by someone who is a lot wiser than I am that a shower... He said to me, it was very simple, he said, the shower I had yesterday is not going to keep me clean today. Which I thought was probably my favourite metaphor that I've heard since I've been here, because... It's so true. I can say to myself, oh, well, I went to a meeting yesterday and I called my sponsor yesterday and I did step work 3 days ago. But how many days can I push it until I feel in pain? And I'm definitely one of those people that doesn't want to do something until it becomes really so painful that there's nothing else to do but the thing that I know is going to make me feel better, but I'm just lazy. And also, it's like, oh, well, my bed's so much more comfortable than going to a meeting or even calling my sponsor. Oh, I have to speak, even though I actually love speaking. But when it's about recovery, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'd rather just watch Netflix on repeat. But this program has given me more than anything else in my life. And I'm so grateful to be here. And I'm so grateful to have been able to speak to you guys. So thank you very much.